What's up, everyone? You're tuned in to episode 108 of Three Questions and a Song. Sean is making faces at me, and you guys can't see him. With me tonight is Sean Nestor, who is in Half Wheel and Homicide Black and a bunch of other bands that I'm going to let him talk about as I bring him up on the screen. There's one you're in with Matt that I cannot think of the name of right now. That's a play on somebody's name. Help me out.
That'd be Harlan O'Scara.
That's the one. What other bands am I missing?
Silk Nine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same cast of characters. It's kind of a carousel of characters. But some in and out. But we're all the same bunch of gaggle of fools that seem to just hang out together and make music. So first, I'm
going to have to go back in time a little bit. Someday I am going to figure out how to play bass, and we're going to change the name to Homicide Bill. That is happening.
Blackie even if himself said that the bass is a tool of ignorance. I didn't say it. Quoting Blackie Laws, tool of ignorance. I actually started off playing bass only because it was what they needed in the band. But I prefer bass, actually, personally.
Somewhere, if you dig in the internet far enough, you will find a picture where I cropped Ralph out of the picture.
Oh, yeah. We were actually going to make that a profile picture for the band. He was this close.
I think he can play the bass better than me, since I don't know how to play the bass at all.
Now, Ralph's an amazingly great bass player. And Ralph also, something else about Ralph McCartney that people may not know, that guy can sing. He can seriously sing. And, you know, I was like, wow, thank you, brother. Thanks for helping me out on these back vocals and everything else. No, and he's also the third stooge to Homicide Black. He's a perfect third stooge to Homicide Black. Yeah, Ralph is the bee's knees all day. No bad guys, any way you look at it.
So you mentioned it's a trio. We should probably mention the other guy too. Maybe.
Do I have to? Yeah. All right.
I mean, he did send us the songs to play later.
Yeah, he did. He did. And that was my bad too. So Jazz Byers is, and Homicide Black is the drummer for Homicide Black. Everybody jokes around, and we all so joke around, say, my heterosexual life partner. And he says the same thing, just because we've been friends for so long. We hang out more than most people ever should. He is a multi-instrumentalist.
He plays instruments I never heard of until I talked to him.
Well, some of them he makes, and so that doesn't count. I don't think that counts. If he makes something, that doesn't really count. I could just do it all day. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. I play the Emerald. It's like, you didn't make that up. Come on. But to be fair, and not to inflate his overly inflated ego as it is, that he is a very, very talented musician. He is actually, he took lessons. He's one of those guys who took lessons. I took a few, you know, not a lot. But he took music lessons. He's can play piano, guitar, bass, drums, typical what you think of rock band stuff. I think that his next instrument should be the didgeridoo, which would be great. I think it'd be great, or a rain stick. But he's all over the place, and he really does invest himself in the music. And God bless him for it.
Literally is all over the place. We have a show on Music from 412 about him being all over the place.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and yet he still has time to find a way to play Pot and Pan and say he's a multi-instrumentalist. It's weird. But no, he's a very talented person. He's a great songwriter too. We want to strangle each other and immediately thereafter record, I think, pretty nice stuff. And then we go to the pub and we decompress. And then we go back up and we re-record. So I think that's a nice relationship to have with anybody, you know. And I that transcends just me and Jazz. Most of the people that in Half Will and everything else, it's like a very dysfunctional family reunion when we get together. I guess, sort of, kind of.
So just real quick, the name of that show is Jazz's Rockin' Road Show. Music from 412.com. You'll find this on there as well. And the Pennsylvania Rock Show and Rocky's Rock and Roll Symphony and Backstage Pass and Space Bat Productions. What am I forgetting? Signal Chain coming soon. There's a lot. And those are just some of the TV shows. There's a whole bunch of radio shows too.
There's a lot of media there, and none of it is throwaway at all. Just find 30 minutes of your time, 15 minutes of your time, go there and just peruse. You won't be sorry.
If you go to the website, you can watch the TV feed from there, and you can watch on-demand episodes of past shows. You can listen to on-demand episodes of past radio shows. There's a lot there, and I should know because I put most of it up.
Yeah, and the Roku fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. If you got a Roku, just jump on that too. I'm not promoting any kind of media or any kind of streaming service, but I'm just saying I have a Roku personally. But it's on Roku too. Just saying.
Yeah, it's on Fire TV as well. But on the Fire TV, you can only watch the live TV feeds. On the Roku, you have the live TV and the on-demand stuff. And the reason for that is I have not figured out how to code a Fire TV app yet. I figured out the Roku one, though.
We got faith in you.
Yeah, whoops. As I take you off the screen. Wrong button.
They want me off this screen more than on, trust me.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that's happened on Music from the 412 was because Rocky told me that he knew I could do it. And I kept telling him, no, I can't. And then I did.
Rocky's a good guy. I mean, his heart, that dude's heart is in the right place. And he has such a passion for local music and Pittsburgh music. And you know what? God bless him all day, every day. That he's so angry when things don't go right. I think that's awesome. It's like, good, be angry, because he's just so invested. And I think it's cool.
I was actually on the phone with him this morning about something that we were in the process of fixing. You probably noticed it on the Roku, where the videos were bouncing back and forth and the audio wasn't matching up. Yeah, that is currently fixed.
We actually just thought it was, you know, the metal god shining down saying, Homicide Black on no level needs to ever be featured with audio. We just thought it was divine intervention. And, you know, the metal god said, no soup for you.
When I say it's fixed, I mean, we found a different way to make it work. And we're still trying to figure out why how we were doing it before isn't working. But in the meantime, you can watch it live without all the skipping and audio leaving. And we just can't schedule it like we were before.
Circumvention can be fixing. Just look at it that way.
And the big key is Todd from 10 Band Productions. He's a big help. And that's our Fire TV app. That's where we go through. Like, so if you want to watch Music from 412 on Fire TV, go to the 10band.tv app and you can watch all kinds of hockey, local hockey, or you can watch local music.
but not at the same time, because if you can stream the music after the fact, you should watch the hockey live, but then watch the music. Be sure to do it that way. That's just my opinion.
Anyway. let's see. Okay, Sean. Important question. What's the best pizza you've had because you're a musician?
The best pizza I've had because I was a musician. I would say immediately, without even having to think about this. Wow, that, I can't believe this. God bless him. Back in the day, right across from Bloomfield Bridge Tavern was another wonderful venue that hosted nothing but original music. Catty Corner was a pizza shop, and Howlers, which was the venue, would bring in pizza for the bands. We didn't pay for it or anything like that. It was nice, you know, and it was smacking good pizza. And I got that pizza because I was a musician. So I guess I suppose that, you know, answers the question.
I have one Howlers experience, and it didn't go well.
Oh, I have several of them. Yeah, we could talk offline.
We definitely will, because it's funny. So Doc Rock's saying hello. Keith, I don't know what Keith's last name is, but he said.
Told Doc, I said, hey, I love him.
He said he loves your playing, and he also says that Howlers was a great venue.
Love me some Doc Rock.
Ugh. All right, so that's question I just asked you, the pizza one. It's funny that Doc responded there because I didn't know he was on. When he first started hearing me ask that question, he's like, what is that? And now he asks it on his show.
Copy. You know what? Hey,
you know, I'm 100% okay with that. Doc Rock is, he hosts the Metal Shop 101 on Music from 412's radio station. So make sure you check him out there.
Sincerest form of flattery right there.
All right. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to Black in Your Eyes, which is a Homicide Black song. It is. And then we're going to listen to Me and You, which is a Half Wheel song. And then we're going to come back, and Sean's going to get his MTV moment, and he's going to do a little Storytellers and tell us about both those songs. And we're going to talk a little bit more after that. So we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back, and you just heard The Black in Your Eyes by Homicide Black and Me and You by Half Will. So you heard Sean on two different tracks, two different styles. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about those two songs now.
Okay, so Black in Your Eyes, pardon me, Black in Your Eyes, our very good friend, Danny Corso, who is my bestest Star Trek geek friend, and we do all this Star Trek stuff together. We buy Star Trek wines, and we do all this stuff. It's ridiculous. Don't even start me. But anyway, Danny, who's also a phenomenal guitarist, Sacred Dominion. If you don't know, you should know. Sacred Dominion, Danny Corso. Danny said, "Hey, I'm going to write a Homicide Black song for you guys." We're like, "Okay, yeah." And he did, and it was really good. And then he said, "But I want dual guitars, dual leads, you know, solos together, harmonies." And I'm like, "Okay, all right." So he brings it to us, and it's a great song. We had a great time. We recorded the tracks, and there were no lyrics. And Jazz and I sat down and we wrote lyrics. We said, it's not cool if we don't have Danny over when we record the vocals, though, because he wrote most of the music. You know, anybody that writes in a band, it's never the way somebody brought it in. Everybody brings something and it changes. It's never exactly the way it came in. So Danny comes in and he goes, "But no, I don't have to." And we're like, "No, we just want to make sure we do you justice in what we do." And that was a marathon session of epic proportion. And Danny Corso, God bless you, he's always the guy. He goes, "Could you double that? Could you triple that?" And we're talking about vocals. I was like, "Well, that was pretty hard to do the first time." He goes, "Well, just double it, make it thicker." I was like, "Well, okay." He goes, "Can you triple that?" I'm like, But that was how that song was recorded. Danny actually, because of his presence in the room, pushed me to do things vocally that I would have never attempted ever. But I would have been embarrassed if I failed in front of him. So the song came out great, I think. Anyway, we love it. And eventually, we really hope to someday get Danny up with us and we'll do it all together and everything. But it's a very Maiden-esque kind of galp. It's like very standard metal, but so cool. And with nice breakdown, too. And it's like Danny actually plays most of the acoustics on a breakdown, by the way. Like full transparency on this one, too. Beautiful. I love that song. I think it's very overlooked in our quote-unquote catalog, if you want to call it that. But it's
on the House of Black, correct?
It is. And it wasn't from the House of Black. It ended up on the House of Black because we were just recording maniacally to the point where we had so many songs. But I think that it's one of the coolest tunes that we've done and so true metal, and such a fun time, such a good time, good experience. And having Danny around, you know, we're not airing this. This is not on the air, right?
Okay. No, and it's not live either.
No. Yeah. Aside from that, usually it's a great time to have him around. We love him. That's true. We do. And segueing into Me and You. Me and You is a complete departure, AB, to the other. To me, it's a very old school, mellow, going to California, Zep tune, sort of, kind of. And it's such a great way for us to get away from always, for us anyway, you can't always be Dio. You can't always be Black Sabbath. You can't, that's not what we do. We try to stick and move, and whatever works, you know. That song is so fun live. And we do actually live. We, in the breakdown of that, we do a little bit of thank you from Zeppelin, and it perfectly segues in the outro. But that's a fun tune. And it's like, you don't always have to be screaming. Sometimes you can actually just sing. I do none of it well, so that's okay.
I disagree with you.
and we can agree, disagree. I look at, like, you know, the stuff we do with Homicide Black is just, like, you know, full bore most of the time. And the Half Wheel really has allowed a lot of us musically, vocally, and everything, to just kind of expand yourself. You know, there's not necessarily a rule. There's not a guideline. So you just do what you do. And if everybody likes it, that's how we go.
So the Homicide Black song that hooked me was Church on the Hill. And there's that. And then is it Saint or Sinner?
It's Sinner or Saint.
Sinner or Saint. I knew I was going to do it backwards.
Yeah. You know what? Don't feel bad. Everybody does. Everybody does.
And then I'm looking, I pulled up. So I could have a ton of Homicide Black in my playlist on my radio show, because I also, but I have mostly Homicide Black 2 and mostly Homicide Black 2 tracks right now, but I have access to all of it because I do the websites. So it fluctuates, but, Where My Demons Lie and Lifeless But Beautiful. I play a lot of those two tracks right now.
Demons is a really, really fun tune. I came up with a lot of that from a riff perspective. And it's there wasn't, don't ask me, there wasn't an inspiration. It was like, what motivated you? I'm like, I don't know, just started playing. So I was like, that's pretty cool. Let's do this. And we literally got that together at a rehearsal with a few modifications here and there. We recorded that at least vocally two or three times because we were working with different management companies, producers, and whatnot. And it's pretty consistent. It's a fun song. It is actually our only for the music guys out there, drop D song. So I don't use a lot of guitars that have tremolos and locking nuts and all this stuff because I'm too lazy. So I'm just too lazy. So it's like, well, how do you detune? It's like, just like that, we're live, there we go, move on. So yeah, Demons, it's just a really fun song. I love playing that live. A lot of times we open with it. Lifeless. Blackie Lawless, on some recordings that were like kind of bootleg back in the day, when Wasp did Mississippi Queen, at the end of the song, in the quasi outtakes of that song, he goes, that one note is a something B word because it's so insanely high, and he was killing himself. That's an entire song. Because Jazz sits there and he wrote the music to that. And Jazz a lot of times doesn't take into consideration that somebody has to sing over it, especially me. You know, so, well, it's just, I'm like, well, yeah, you sang it in your octave. I can't sing that low. But then I sing here, and it's like, and it just starts a step, and then all of a sudden, you're in a stratosphere, and it's like, I mean, like, sure, song's cool and whatever, but you sit there and you're like, okay, wow, take some breath before this guy. But that's kind of what we do. I think that every song that we do, even if it's, I don't want to say stupid, but maniacal, Can you sing this? Nobody even asked me that question ever. And trust me, I'm not sitting there saying, oh, because I can sing everything. I don't mean it like that on any level. But it's like, nobody can takes that into consideration. Here's a song. Like, sing it. It's like, And then it morphs into whatever it is. But we have a very, very loose formula, I guess. Even between Homicide Black, Half Wheel, and the Silk Nine stuff, too. It's like, you know.
Which is another completely different genre. It's more hard rock.
Yeah, I say melodic. Melodic metal, I guess, sort of. Yeah. Dawkins-ish, if you want to call it that. But, you know, and again, it's like, it's all fun stuff. We have a great time playing it. Hopefully everybody likes it when they hear it. If they don't, there's something wrong with those people. But, We do what we do, and it entertains us, and we never really like have this focus on here's what people are gonna like. Don't do that. That's just me personally saying that.
Hey, Sean, did you sing on Tear Me Down?
So I did. Well,
okay. On the recording?
Yeah, well, most certainly I did. There are several that we re-recorded that I didn't sing on the first time, but yes, Tear Me Down is the only time that that song was recorded. So that's me. Okay. Yes.
So I was playing that one day, and my wife generally ignores what I'm doing now with unsigned music. Before my kids were born, she was into it just as much as I, but you know, one of us has to, this can sound terrible, but one of us, when I'm doing this, has to make sure everything else is working correctly. One day I was playing Tear Me Down and she stopped and she goes, who is this? And I was like, it's Silk Nine. Why? She goes, this is awesome. So there you go.
It's a fantastic song. I mean, and it's not me saying because I sang on it. No, it's a fantastic song. It's a fantastic song. It's very singable. It grabs you. It's the B word that ends with A-L-L-S and then a Y. So I didn't say it, but it's
you can get away with that, I think.
Oh, then fine. It's a ballsy song. All right. And it's a great riff. And the song's cool. And it has a message. It has a great chorus. It's very singable. Unless you're me, because it's hard to sing. But
saying that.
No, you don't understand how hard it is. But all these guys that play guitar that don't sing, actually just, they're not the singer. Oh, they'll write it all day. They'll write it all day because we'll just do, I'm like, a piano has 8 octaves, people. A human being does not. It's not how it works on any level. But that's a great song. A lot of the Silk Nine songs are fantastic. I mean, they're fun. They're very energetic. They're crowd pleasers. They pump everybody up and everything. And same thing, like the Homicide Black songs. There are so many songs that are fun to play with Homicide Black. And us being a 3-piece, I'm sort of hemmed in, strapped to a guitar and a mic. So that's a little different, but I don't have a problem with that. And Half Wheel is the most eclectic band I think that I've ever experienced. Sometimes I put, like on the recordings, I play guitar, but I don't play them live. Other times I play live, and I prefer to just sing live with Half Wheel because we're friends with so many people that are so talented who swap in and out. You have Ralph McCartney, the Homicide Black. He plays bass for Half Wheel. So does Paul Ricciuti. Paul Ricciuti plays in more bands than I can even count on 10 hands. Okay. And he's amazing on every level. Then you have Tony Ramirez that swaps in and out. He's in Half Wheel. He's with Lucky Me. We have had Matt Ferrani play drums. We've had Josh Shank who is in a band called The Crush up in the Erie area. He's a phenomenal drummer. He's actually recorded with Half Wheel. He's recorded with Homicide Black. He's smoking drummer, right? Geez, I mean, Jamie Linhart, who Tony Ramirez and I in jazz, we go back till, you know, the beginning of time. And Jamie is a smoking drummer. And we just keep rotating. And then we've even had Mike Ofka has sat in with us because he was very, very gracious.
There's a Pittsburgh legendary name.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, he's like, and we actually do, we do a lot of our stuff with Mike with regard to, you know, mixing, mastering and stuff like that. We'll go and sit for a day when we do an actual full Half Wheel release. And Mike, if anybody's going to
Before we go into Mike Ofka, you used the word eclectic, and I want to play the question that Matt from NeoStem had and have you answer it. Then we'll get
throw them at me.
Okay.
They're kind of like eclectic. If I'd ask on that sort of a question, what musician or band got him into music? Because there's a lot going on here. And I was what was the one that lit the rocket underneath you that said, I want to be a musician?
Now, did you only listen to the Half Wheel stuff, or
check out the Homicide Black stuff. No, I did not.
All right, so Homicide Black sounds like Black Sabbath. I kind of pigeonholed you a little there, but keep listening.
Half Wheel stuff is a little more popular.
That's what I was bumping here, the Half Wheel stuff here. So yeah, because that's a lot going on. You have two different styles. So yeah. What one was it? What got you into becoming a musician?
I would suggest if you're going to look it up, go to Homicide Black, Church on a Hill, or Saint and Sanders Center, I think it's called.
Did
I do it backwards there?
Yeah, did it wrong again. Yeah.
All right, let me see what
he's not done yet.
Church on the Hill is my favorite.
He's a hard type.
That's what I'm going to go to here. All right, here we go.
If you're not familiar with them, you can go to rattleclack.com. And
I can hear the riff.
Rattleclack Entertainment's website, owned by Jazz Byers, who's also in Half Wheel and Homicide Black. And he has his own studio and records and find both of those bands there.
I'm waiting for there's one specific thing he's going to say at the end here.
It's in another band. I can't remember, but it's with Matt Ferrani because.
Oh, one of the 8,000 bands he's in.
Yeah. That's not even it, but that was a great comment.
He's in a lot.
Something's telling me this guy answered that question. I got a feeling he's going to say Dio is going to be his answer.
Maybe. All right. That's the end of it. So that was a little long. Normally those are like 30 seconds, but we touched on a bunch of stuff there.
No, I think that was great, actually, to be honest with you. So I have to answer now, right?
Yeah.
All right. So musically, don't get angry at me, anybody. Just straight up music. What I, you know, just today, even right now, like the Beatles, man. It's the Beatles. Okay, now, what made me want to be in a band? Kiss. End of story. No front, no middle, no. It's it. Kiss. It was like, just, it was what it was. I don't, the magic of Kiss at that point in time. That's why I wanted to be in a band. But I was so, my family was, you know, it's hard to believe that my family was very, also eclectic and eccentric and all the other E words to mask insanity. But yeah, overall, we were a very musical family, which is kind of odd. You know, I had a grandmother that played organ, and my sister played organ, and you know, my mother sang and had a beautiful voice for a smoker, which is ridiculous. But nonetheless, I mean, the music of the Beatles is so complex, and I will challenge anybody that ever just comes at me with that. So lovely. But at the same time, I turned around and I'm like, yeah, Kiss is just, oh. So if somebody said, why do you want to actually get on stage and be in a band, in a band on stage, Kiss. Why would I want to play music? Probably the Beatles. So it's kind of a split answer, but in a band on stage, Kiss, all day, every day. Hate me, love me, I don't care.
Gene Simmons himself talks about the Beatles being why he wanted to do it.
Huge. So. If you can watch some really cool stuff online where Kiss, even in the, I think it was the Revenge era, backstage stuff, where they're doing Beatles stuff, just harmonizing together. I'm like, yeah, they understood it. They just chose the direction that was going to make them different money and whatever. But it's amazing. They get it. They totally get it. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I actually just told this story somewhere on my last PA Rock show, but I met Gene Simmons, which is a pretty cool experience. And I'll tell you about that when we're off the air too, because if anybody wants to listen to that, that's on episode number 698 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. It's on buildthescene.com right now. You can go listen to it. See how I did that?
Very good.
Okay, so Mike Ofka. I feel like we're going to have a deep dive into Pittsburgh here. And we're going to be well over our time, but I want to do this. Because someday I need to actually talk to Mike on one of my shows. But go ahead. Tell us what you were going to say about him.
First of all, like I said, Mike will humble you if you're a guitarist. I don't play a lot of keyboard, so I can't speak to that. But what Mike just has a very, very different style than what I do and whatever. And, you know, Mike's also played with Steve Vai. Okay, name drop. Thanks, Mike. But he's the most humble guy on the planet, too. I mean, I love Mike, right? So, and we'll go to Mike's studio, and Mike actually is featured on the Desert Half Wheel. Because here's a little real quick segue. Half Wheel first two, three, I lose count, recordings and releases were all instrumental. They were never meant to be an actual quote-unquote band. So the first album was just to be a soundtrack for Jazz's Bike Odyssey.
I have watched. I've watched that DVD.
And that's all it was. He called me and said, hey, I have all these tunes. Do you want to come over and play guitar on them? I'm like, sure. Yeah. And that's how that happened. So there's the birth of Half Wheel. And it ebbs and flows. And it was never supposed, at least intended, to be anything more than just like cerebral, cool, driving music, whatever. I think that my favorite instrumental in the truest vein, Half Wheel, is Lanny Akea.
I was just going to ask you how to say that.
Well, it took me a while because we all sit there, and when we had to do some of these live instrumentally, you know, of course there's Jamie and we're all sitting there. He goes, I don't know what this one is. I'm like, I don't know what it is either. Does it sound like this? That's how we knew how to do it. Because there's no words, there's no keys, there's no prompts and everything. And again, you're not talking about a Philharmonic here. Okay. So, but yeah, it's Lanny Akea. And so the concept, that is a concept album. Jazz would speak to this way better than I could. But it's basically a journey through the solar system. And you're eventually getting to the sun. That's each one of those songs is a planet. And that's progression. Okay. Terra Gaia Mother Earth, okay, which is actually that's one of my favorite leads I've ever played because the entire song is so happy. It makes me disgusted how happy it is. Alpedon was the guest bass player on that, and that guy is an absolute freaking monster. Such a good musician, like professional, trained. And where we sit there, I'm like, well, we're gonna, he's like, oh, and we're like, okay, just do it out and stuff like that. But that is one of my favorite songs that are instrumental for, for the half wheel thing. But jumping right back, we did The Desert, which was two albums before that. And then we got together with Mike and said, hey, would you want to recut a couple segments and throw your own stuff in there? And we kind of call him a response. I didn't recut anything, but he just threw his own stuff in. When you hear Mike play, you know it's Mike. It's just, he's next level. I mean, trust me, I'm not competing with that on any level at all. He's such a good player and so effortless, and so unassuming. He doesn't act like you're welcome and walks away. It's like, no, he's like, is that okay? It was pretty good, Mike. You know, but yeah, he's and actually, what's funny is I met Mike the first time I met Mike was at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh when he was also in school with Tony Ramirez, who is also in Lucky Me and plays with Half Wheel. So it's so hysterical how small that world becomes as older you get, you know, at least in my opinion. Anyway.
Hey, so I have one more song I want you to talk about. It won the Grassy Award. And it is a Half Wheel song that has lyrics.
First one.
Now I'm going to mess this up because the album has an S, I think, and the song doesn't, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So the album is
Good Days.
It's Good Days, but the song is Good Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jazz threw that song away in his own admission. He threw that song away 3, 4, maybe 5 times before I ever heard it. He thought it was garbage. We were in the dark times of COVID and you can't go anywhere, do anything, this and that, whatever. And so he had a whole bunch of tunes that were cover tunes that were in the vein of what he liked. He's very heavily steeped in alternative stuff from back in the day. And that is the only song that is an original that has lyrics. So he goes, do you want to do all these songs? I'm like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. We're all just hanging out, right? So that's what we did. He put that song out and he says, what do you think? And, you know, I said, and again, when we get together, it ebbs and flows and develops into whatever it ends up being. And it was just such a fun song. It's a fun song. So fun that it won a Grassy Award. If you YouTube the video for it, I'm like, I don't know, you have inflatable dinosaurs. There's inflatable dinosaurs. By the way, that entire video, aside from a couple of the driving little scenes in there, it was not scripted. Those dinosaurs, we came upon that. Swear God Almighty. Swear to God Almighty. And we're like, and Jazz was like, do you mind? And is it okay if we film? And so it wasn't like that. That was not a storyboard. That was not a script. So that all just happened almost probably about 80% organically. And then it blew up. I think it blew up, one, because I really do believe it's a great song. But I think it blew up because of, you're coming out of the dark ages. Oh, yeah. Come out of your caves, guys. Come on. Yeah. It's a good day. And we ended up doing a Christmas parade. Like, seriously, like the just slightly lower budget Macy's parade, where Jazz and I are in the back of a truck playing Good Day in 40 degree weather and snow and everything. Like, and meanwhile, Homicide Black had a show approximately 30 minutes after that. I probably got strep throat, just truth be told. But yeah, we did all that. It's such a fun song. It's almost always our closer for Half Wheel, but it's such a fun song. It's like, honestly, and I didn't write it. So it's not like I'm just, pat myself on the back and all that stuff. It's a fun song. If it wasn't our song, I would still enjoy it. I'm just very, very happy that I get to try to sing it most of the time.
Well, here, let's give a little bit of background on the Grassy Awards so everybody understands what happened there, which will help with your I didn't write it. So the Grassy Awards are from 97.7, the rock station out of Butler, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And to be nominated for the Grassy Awards, your song has to end up in regular rotation on their FM station, first of all. And then it goes through a gauntlet, which songs are going to be available for to be voted on. And then from there, they go up on a website and the listeners actually vote on the songs. So to win the Grassy Award, you have to be voted in by the listeners of this FM station.
Yeah. So cutting through all of that. No, it's literally a listener award. It's hard to believe that those still exist. But yeah, it's a listener award. It wasn't we bought robos that did this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, we're just not going to do that. This is not, but everybody really, really liked it. I think, to sit there and say that I didn't kind of just a little bit kind of go, you're crying all the time, kind of a situation whenever, because we honestly did not know that we won. That's not a, all right, here's when they're going to bring the award, but no, we didn't know. So we played our set and because, it's a good day and there's a bike and they tailor everything. Dude comes down the hill, like straight up Mr. McFeely.
That hill is a monster too. I would have never ridden a bike down that.
No offense to the guy, but I'm glad the award survived. It was like, he comes down and I'm like, we're like, you're starting to get it. And I was like, you better not crash. I'm going to pinch myself or something. Yeah. it was very, very touching. And it was very awesome. Like, dude comes down, he gets the trophy out, and we were like, it is so touching and very rewarding that, honestly, not a fluff piece. It was it was nice that everybody really liked it so much that they voted for it and they cared. And there wasn't like we were going to win $1 billion because of it. It was like, no, it just, it was worth more than that because everybody really loved it and it meant something.
And another cool piece of that whole thing is every year the trophy is handmade and specific to that band.
Exactly. It, our trophy blows my mind, right? Now, I was promised that we'd be able to rotate it from house to house and stuff like that. It hasn't happened yet.
Let me guess. It's at Jazz's house?
It still is. Yeah. I think he super glued it to the mantle. I'm afraid to break it. But for the most part, I was like, yes, it's 100% like just custom tailored to the band, the song, everything. I mean, I sat there and I was like, the time and effort that anybody would put into that is amazing. Ours, you know, I'm sure everybody else's is great too. Don't get me wrong. I only have ours to look at. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Bicycle, Stratocaster and everything. You know, although Jazz would give me the beat down because Jazz is a Les Paul guy. He always tells me, like, because I have a billion guitars, and he says, no, we're playing Les Pauls in this band. I'm like, I bought every one of these guitars. I'll play whatever way I want to play. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's my Strat, so I'm playing that too. But yeah, the fact that they customize everything, and you know, Utah and Bob put so much time and effort into that entire event. It's so enjoyable. Even like when we don't play there, no, I still go because I think it's a great event. I don't know.
I went for my very first time this year, because my summers are kind of busy, especially with now Build a Scene, First Angel Media, and Music from the 412. But coincidentally, Music from the 412 is why I went. Music from the 412 was a sponsor, and I got to hang out with Bob Cupp for a little while, and then I hung out with Parabellum. But that hillside,
I'd love very to ride it out. Yeah, in the winter, that's a sled ride nightmare,
for sure.
And speaking of Bob Cupp, like I'll tell you, radio voice all day. That guy, just if he read me any story on the planet, Bob Cupp just read me to sleep.
I listened to the Slippery Rock game this past weekend, and I just kept going, I know that guy.
I mean, like, you see the guy, he's the nicest guy on the planet, and voice comes out of him, what's going on? That guy, Golden Throat, Bob Cupp, Golden Throat all day. Oh, so good. And hey, by the way, I will throw some props out to Noble Hops, which is Utah's band. I didn't know, like I knew he played in a band, but then Jazz hung out with them and they recorded down at his place. And I was like, I saw it and I was like, wow, these guys are super good. So, you know, not a paid advertisement on any level, but I was like, wow, those guys are really, really impressive. And if you get a chance, anybody gets a chance to go out and see them at whatever they're going to do. They were, I was like, I just thought you did radio stuff, dude. But wow, they're very, very talented.
So Utah, back in the day, and when I say back in the day, I mean 2004, before the Pennsylvania Rock Show existed, just a few months before, I opened a website called akmusicscene.com, which you can still go to, but it brings you to part of Build the Scene's website. And I didn't have a name, and I didn't really have any funding to do anything. Utah came up with the name AK Music Scene and paid for the domain name so that I could start what turned into Build the Scene. So.
Well, see, obviously, we're both Utah fans.
Yes.
Yeah. I've run into Utah in the oddest places. I've been at wineries in the Erie area, and, you know, you see them from behind. I was like, Utah, plus he has a shady lady.
Yes, like, everywhere.
That can't be a coincidence. I'm like, Utah? He's like, what are you doing up here? I'm like, hey, we just hang out and stuff. But yeah, he's a great guy.
I ran into Utah at a show that my son was playing. And it turned out that he was friends with the drummer in the band that my son was in. Had a family, which was... the band is the Mon Valley Junior Stage Band. It is 8th through 12th graders. And once they graduate, they aren't in the band anymore. They're alumni. And Aiden is currently, well, Aiden has been for the past 2 years. 2 years? Yeah. The first seat trumpet in that band. As an 8th grader, he was the third seat, which... is kind of impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, the thing is with Utah and Bob, those guys, and they do they are part of that fostering music.
Yes.
And we played those shows too. I think it's very, very safe to say that the majority of the shows, whether it's Homicide Black or Half Wheel or you know, whatever we do, most of them are some form of benefit show, you know, whether they're Rock for Life series stuff with Matt and those folks, or the fostering music, or, you know, like, you know, hey, if you want to, anybody wants to hire Half Wheel for like $30,000, we're not opposed to that. I'm just on record right now saying that, okay? But we also enjoy the performance, enjoy playing, and just hanging out with our friends and our musical family. And most of the time, a lot of these events are just for a way, way better cause than just lining our pockets, I guess, sort of. You know, like I said, the Rock for Life stuff, fostering music, and I'm sure...
I saw you guys at both of those events this year.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I, you know, said that's it, because I'm sure there are so many more that we do that I don't always remember the name of each event, but it's like, yeah, hey, I think that's a very, very cool thing that, you know, if we play, we have a great time. We always have a great time. If you have a great time because you saw us play, that's super awesome too. At the same time, it's like if this all and the other amazing bands that we get to play with, and I could rattle for an hour and a half with the stupid better bands than us that play these shows, and it's just they're not getting paid. They're just they're donating their time and their you know, talents, extraordinarily talented bands, to, you know, help these kids out. Most of the time it's kids. You know, we've done Wounded Warrior Project ones too, and we love those too. But yeah, they tend to anymore, for at least for us, they tend to be more benefit oriented stuff. Yeah, unless you want to give us $30,000, and we'll totally play your patio. That's fine. I don't want to switch it there, but I'll just say it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you one more question, because my 30-minute show is now at 56 minutes, and we're going to roll with it because there's been a lot of cool stuff.
You know what you're getting.
This question should be an easy one, but who knows? What's coming up next for your bands?
Across the board, I think that our plan is a lot more recording and playing simultaneously. Homicide Black played its first show in over 3 years. Just a few months ago, a couple months ago, whatever. It's hysterical how much the whole riding the bike thing works out, and you almost don't miss a beat, except for I had to learn a lot of the solos that I wrote, so that sucked. But aside from that, I think that we are planning on just, you know, playing as much as we can, recording, putting some new stuff out, and just being active, I guess, and not laying back. Because I think that Homicide Black specifically has laid back, just because, you know, sometimes you pivot on your priorities and things. But Homicide Black is alive and well, so please, nobody misunderstand that. Had a great show. Want to record, do some more shows with Homicide Black. And the fact that Half Wheel is a collective of so many bands, friends, family. I would expect to see a lot of Half Wheel shows as well, and as many Homicide Black as we can get on.
Hey, Sean, I want to thank you for hanging out with me tonight. What people don't know is we also talked for like 25 minutes before we went live. So this has been episode number 108 of Three Questions and a Song with Sean. I keep forgetting. Sean, I still need you to ask a question of Christina from the Shadow event.
And my question is, because I watched, and I almost think that we played with them at that show that was recorded, that I just fixated on a video. But at any rate, watching them, I was very intrigued. And I was like, you know, every band gets compared to every national act or famous band and whatever. I'm like, oh, well, they sound like them. They sound like this. They're like that. Okay, so that's all well and good. But I guess my question to Christina is, you as a band, if you don't have a choice, if you could be compared to and be happy with or impressed by or honored by the comparison of they sound like X, what would that band be?
Sean, I don't know if you saw that, but a thumbs up appeared next to you on the screen. I have no idea where it came from, like in a thought bubble.
They like my question.
I've never seen that before, ever.
I've already been told one time today that I'm an anomaly. Not an amphibian or any of that, or a sea anemone either. I was told I was an anomaly. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, Ace Frehley has a solo album named that.
That's true. That's true. We got 10,000 volts. How about that, guys? Woo!
All right, so now I'm going to do the closing. Sean, thank you for hanging out with me tonight.
Thank you for enduring my pain that I inflicted upon you. And
no, this is fun. We doubled the amount. Well, more than doubled, because I have to put the music in on. But sometimes I have shows where I just don't want to hang up, and this is one of them, because so many cool things came up, like Mike Ofka and the different members of your band and fostering music and the Grassroots Grassy Award. There's a lot of cool stuff that came up. So people are going to learn some things when they watch this one on Music from the 412, or listen on Rudaroo Radio in San Diego, or on Build a Scene or Music from the 412 Radio. So Sean and I are going to have that conversation that we were saying we're going to have off the air. The rest of you should go to buildthescene.com or musicfromthe412.com and check out what's going on here in Western Pennsylvania's music scene.